Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Well, tonight's guest is an award-winning printmaker whose work has been exhibited in galleries in Canada, the U.S., Holland, China, England, Korea, Russia, Scotland, Italy, Japan, Poland, Taiwan, and the Ukraine. Dan Steves is also a printmaking technician and lecturer at Mount Allison University, New Brunswick, and was recently the first prize winner in the Open Studios annual National Printmaking Awards. Dan's on the phone with us from his office at Mount Allison University and is going to talk to us in a few moments about his art. But first, let's listen to Possibilities from Chelsea Amber's self-titled debut EP called Chelsea Amber.
Timing can be everything, a lesson I've learned from love. Thought we had it figured out, thought we found the formula. Even if you think it's true, even if you have a plan, maybe no one has a clue. We just do the best we can. 'Cause after all, we're all wandering on a broken road. After all, we're all lonely, but we're not alone. Now I'm ready to dream.
Conversation with Dan Steves. Good evening, Dan.
Good evening.
Now, let's give our listeners a little bit of background about you. When did you start getting an interest, become interested in printmaking?
Well, even in high school, my high school teacher exposed us, I guess, a bit to making dry points and even etchings. But it was really when I came to Mount Allison as a student in 1977 that I started to fall in love with the medium.
In terms of printmaking, was that always your first avenue of artistic expression, or did you sort of move into that from other areas?
I think I didn't know till my fourth year, or even after I graduated, that I was going to be mainly a printmaker. I actually graduated in 1981 with a split major in painting and printmaking.
In looking at that, what attracted you to the discipline of printmaking itself?
I think it certainly is the whole process. It certainly is the fact that for me, as someone who does intaglio prints, who is an etcher, I love the surface quality. I love the ink on paper, and that's something that I had a show in, I think it was 1989, and the curator said, I just want to deal with your prints. I feel that's your strongest work. And so I started to do a series of prints for the show, and I've never looked back. I gave up on painting and have continued with the print.
Sort of walk us through the process of a print for us, for some of the people out there that may have an idea but are still sort of trying to picture what we're actually talking about here.
Okay. As an etcher, I work on zinc plates, and I have those plates sandblasted, so it gives them a bit of tooth. And then after I draw on the plate what I want to be the image, I work with a liquid grease, and it's actually a lithographer's grease, and I paint in negative, so it has to be everything I want to be white, has to be dark or lots of grease to protect the plate from the acid. And so I work in negative, and then you also have to work in reverse. So once the image has all the different layers of grease on it, that's put into a vat of nitric acid, and that nitric acid bites down between the particles of grease and, again, the areas that have a lighter coating of the grease, those areas get darker. And the process that I work in is a black-to-white process. So when I take the plate out of the acid and remove the grease, I'm certainly not finished. I've just begun. I have to scrape and sand and burnish and polish to bring out mid-tones and whites. So, and then once that's done, I take ink and cover the whole plate, rub it into all the grooves, all the crevices, and then wipe the surface off. I have a piece of paper that's soaking in a vat of water, and I blot that paper, lay it over top on the bed of a printing press, and the etching press is a top roller and a bottom roller with a bed of steel in between, and then there's a set of three blankets, and those blankets provide 20,000 pounds pressure per square inch, pushing the paper into every groove, every crevice, every minute scratch, and you come out on the other side, flip the blankets off, and carefully pull the printed paper off, and you have your first impression.
Now, you've been doing this for quite a while, so it's probably easier now to think in that whole negative and reverse process. But how much was it of a challenge was it to start thinking about it? I mean, I do photography, and I go back to the days when we actually printed our in newspapers, did black and white prints, and I develop my own film and work with negatives and things like that. And how did you sort of train your mind to think that way when you're looking at a blank piece of zinc metal?
Well, you use different tricks, I guess. Sometimes I'll actually, if I'm out in the landscape, I'll actually sit and draw it backwards, and then do the grease. If I'm doing a much more complex piece, I will actually draw on transparencies, and then often we'll flip those. So some may say, well, that's cheating, but that helps the mind. And sometimes, too, when you're working on something, you decide which way you think it's going to be best suited, reading left to right or right to left, and then choose that for your image.
Well, who, as you've been going along and as you've been doing this for, since I guess it was the early 80s and that, who have been some of your influences as an artist and as a printmaker?
Well, there's both, I guess, contemporary and historic. Rembrandt and Whistler were both printmakers. I've had opportunity to see a lot of Rembrandt's prints. I love how he was not a finicky kind of etcher. If he made a mistake with a line, he would just put the right one in, and your eye would go to the right line. Certainly, more contemporary printmakers, people like Jim Dine, or people even in Canada like David Blackwood, and you think of others, Carl Haywood, Otis Tamashauskas, people like that, that you look at their work and get lots of inspiration from it.
What I want to do is as we go here, before we get into our next set of questions, is go for a quick break, and then we're going to come back and continue our conversation with printmaker Dan Steeves. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
So what if I'm not perfect? So what? It's not the end of the world. I may not have found my match, but I think that I'm a catch. I'm a beautiful mess of a girl. So what if you don't think I'm worth it? So what? It's not the end of the world. Got a bandaid on my heart, and I'll never look the part. I'm a beautiful mess of a girl. Should've, could've, would've, oh, whatever. I never saw the wrong, stupid insecurity. Flying orders to the wind of the world. Adios to flawless and hello to a beautiful mess of a girl. So what if I don't have it together?
Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to A Beautiful Mess of a Girl from the self-titled debut EP Chelsea Amber by East Coast musician Chelsea Amber. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to continue our conversation with printmaker Dan Steeves. Dan, looking at printmaking, that you're also teaching it. What sort of drives you to pass this on?
Well, certainly the underlying thing for me is passion for the medium, and I tell students that if I can't teach them anything more, I want to teach them passion for being a printmaker and passion for being an artist.
Now, has printmaking itself, the way it's done and the art of printmaking, changed over the years since you began yourself?
There certainly are different ways of working, but in the end, it's still that, as some would say, an antiquated process. Whether it's etching or whether it's lithography or even more modern silkscreen, it's still, even though some of the chemicals change, some of the ways we do things change, it's basically the same process that's been going on for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm. Has technology changed it at all?
Technology in terms of safety, we do things a lot differently than we used to, even when I was a student. Certainly the print studio when I was a student was not a safe place to be, but yet we kind of blithely did our work and didn't think about it. But today we use chemicals and so on, solvents that are much more user-friendly, and the whole print shops smell a lot better than they used to.
Yeah, people look at printmaking, it's a very hands-on, very tactile art form. Is that something that attracts you, and is that something that attracts the people, that the students that you have that are coming in to take part in it?
For sure. I mean, all the mediums that we teach the students are very tactile, but certainly printmaking would be one of them. It's almost very sculptural, actually, for etching, the way you work on plates and model the plate and so on. It's really, I think as in anything, the pendulum always switches and goes back and forth, and printmaking had a real heyday in the 60s and 70s, and I really feel that that's starting to come back as people are interested in how to do some traditional ways of working.
Well, I think one of the things that I see attracting, and I've actually seen a couple of stories on printmaking and that in the media recently, is the fact that you're going back and it's like one piece at a time. It's not like a mass production thing. You're working at one piece at a time, and you really get an opportunity to really create in this area. How are your students reacting to getting back into something that, I mean, printmaking's, you know, thousands of years old?
Students really get excited because often in high school, they've done painting, they've done drawing, they've done some of these ways of working, digital photography, but when they come to an art school, all of a sudden they're introduced to all these different ways of working that they've never experienced before, and it kind of opens their mind to really be able to try something new, try something different.
Looking at one of the things that we're looking at talking about was the fact that you just received the first prize in Open Studio's National Printmaking Awards competition. What went through your mind when you found out that you won that?
Well, there's always that sense of disbelief. There's always the sense you're in the room with 100 different prints, and you know, you make your own choices. You think of other artists who have done really great work, and it's just kind of, wow, I guess it's my turn. And so you have to revel in the moment, but you have to leave it at that because that moment soon passes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that whole competition, how that one worked?
Sure. Open Studio for a long, long time, well over 20 years, has been, they do a fundraiser, 100 prints, and in that fundraiser, artists submit work, and it's juried, and that work, so they have 100 prints, and they sell tickets. I think they're $385 for a ticket, for a couple can come, and that's for food and drink and entertainment, and then you get to choose work, at least at first. You choose which ones you like the best, and then you receive a number, and it's kind of like bingo, and as that number is chosen, if you're the first person that's chosen, well, then you will get the print that you want. If you're the very last person whose number is called, then you get the last print. And so back in 2008, after Ernst & Young had been doing a printmaking competition and had ended it in 2004, they decided to start a national competition as well. So all the artists that are entered into the Open Studio event have an opportunity to win first, second, third, and then they had three runners-ups as well.
Looking at all of this and looking at, I mean, you've been, your art has been displayed in galleries around the world. You've not only won this last award, but there's other awards that you've won. What inspires you to keep going as a printmaker?
I think more so than as a printmaker, even just as an artist, I'm inspired by life itself, and I don't know what it's like to be 60 yet, and so I don't know how I'm going to react to the world at that point, but all through the years, over the last 33 years that I've been an artist, I have been reacting to life and the world around me, how I see that.
Mm-hmm. Now, where does your faith come in terms of your art and expressing your art?
I would have to say that my faith comes in as in the same way that I live my life. So it's a key element in how I see the world, and I would have to say that my work is not a kind of proselytizing form of art making, but it's how I do view the world and then how I'm affected by that. And so sometimes it becomes very clear, and other times it's much more subtle.
When you're looking at beginning a project, and you've got about three or four books out of exhibits that you've done and some of the projects you've done, what are you looking for in terms of subject matter, things like that? What inspires you to do the etchings?
I think I would have to say that I don't choose the art, but the art chooses me, and that may sound romantic or melodramatic, but that's true. I see things that affect me. I hear things. I read things that affect me, and they can go into sketchbooks. I have what I call an idea book that a lot of these things go into, and then they come out in different ways. The image that won at Open Studio was part of a show called The Memory of Pain. And it was going to be all about a trip that my wife and I were to take to Europe. And we were going to visit a concentration camp in Austria, Mauthausen. And it was going to be about that. I'd done a lot of research about Mauthausen, and I was planning to do a series of prints about that. And 5 days before we were to leave, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, and for a period of a couple days, we weren't even sure that we were going to go or would be able to go. But in the end, the doctor said we should. We did, and probably that exhibition became more about what she had to endure in the end than about the concentration camp.
Well, I want to take, I'm just looking at the time here, we're slipping away. I need to take one final break, and after that we'll come back and we'll finish up our conversation with printmaker Dan Steeves. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Excavation, like a brand new civilization. I'll resort for a soul vacation. Oh, oh, that's me. I'm a story with an explanation. I'm a city with a new foundation. I'm a plane set for elevation. Oh, oh, that's me. A red rose that you pulled from the garden. I'm a heart that you just can't harden. I'm a desperate miracle pardon. Oh, oh, that's me. Fire in the dead of winter. I'm a needle for your deepest splinter. Oh, oh, that's me. You can't see me cause I'm underwater. You can't see that I'm the king's daughter. A lost treasure in the house of a hoarder. Oh, oh, that's me. I'm the wind that you just can't see. Grow a mighty tree from a tiny seed. I'm a prisoner that's just been freed. Oh, oh, that's me.
I'm a diamond in the rough. I'm a diamond in the rough. Do you know my word? 'Cause I'm moving up.
Connection. You've been listening to Diamond in the Rough from the EP Chelsea Amber by Chelsea Amber. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to wrap up our conversation with Dan Steeves. Dan, what are you working on right now?
I'm working on a new series of prints that kind of deal with staircases. Not exclusively, but that's the starting point, I guess, for the series. Gaston Bachelard, the French philosopher, talked about the kind of the philosophy behind, the psychology rather, behind the artist's garret, the attic, and also kind of the basement, the cellar. And so I've been working on a series of work that starts with that viewpoint of things going up and things going down. And I'm just going to let it flow from there and see where it takes me.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to actually put a print?
From start to finish, I always say probably at least 100 hours, from initial drawings to working on the grease on the plate, and then etching the plate, and then the work that happens after that, the stages, because first proof isn't always the last one. Often it's many proofs to get the final product.
Well, if people are interested in knowing a little bit more about you and more about your work and even where they can find your stuff, where can they get that information?
Well, I have a website, just www.dansteeves.com. I have work at the Abozzo Gallery in Toronto, and that's one of my main galleries, and then I have work in Atlantic Canada at Peter Buckland's gallery. But you certainly can view a lot of the work on the website.
Right, and Dan Steeves, that's Steeves.
Yes.
Right. Dan, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Great talking to you, Robert. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Dan Steeves. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selawministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries, email robert@selawministries.ca or follow us on Twitter at @Selaw13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.